Ah, yes. Christmas cards. You figured out the actual card you're going to do, and all I have to do is sign my name on this one. Awesome, I can do that. Okay, now you have figured out the program on your computer so you don't actually have to handwrite all the addresses. Great, but of course the program doesn't work, and you don't have any labels that match how to make the program work, and you can't figure out how to put the envelope in the printer itself because it just eats it up. And of course you don't have the ink because, you know, you print four things and you're out of ink now. Well, then you finally got them all done and you're ready to roll. Hey, honey, you got the stamps, right? You were supposed to get the stamps. All right, nothing more fun than going to the post office around Christmas time, right? I'd like 8,700 stamps. Here's my kidney. Now, you've got to decide on vacations for next year, a lot of you, because at the first of the year, you've got to turn all that stuff in. And of course, you know right now what you're going to be doing in July of 2011 and how you're going to want to go and where you're going to want to go and figuring all that out. So you've got to figure all that out. Not to mention, oh, guess what? Nothing more festive than seeing how your insurance plan is going to go up over the next year. And, oh, I better get that kidney back from the post office because they're going to take both of them, the insurance company will. Ironically causing you to need the insurance company more. Getting sick. You're doing all of this, you're figuring all this stuff out, and now you have what's going around. So you spend the money on the copay to the doctor, you wait in the office with all those other sick people. You get there, you do all the stuff you have to do, you get back, and the doctor comes in, mispronounces your name, looks at you and goes, yeah, you have what's going around. If I were you, I'd just drink lots of fluids and get lots of rest. Okay. Well, call me back if there's a problem. Awesome. It's coming now, isn't it? You've put it off as long as you can. You've got to figure out what you're going to do when the family shows up now. Because they're going to expect food to eat. And they're going to expect places to sleep. And so you've got to figure out who is going where, who is fixing what. Am I actually going to go fight to go stand in line at Honey Baked Ham and get the big ham? What are we doing this year? We've got to figure out what food we're making, figure out where everybody's staying, figure out how we can avoid the big fight like we had last year. What are the approved topics we can talk about and what aren't? And then, and hear me on this one, you've got church. We've got Sunday morning, we've got Wednesday night, we've got cantatas, we've got handbell performances, we have kids' parties, we have all sorts of, we have Sunday school parties, we have all sorts of things that we are doing, Christmas Eve service. And in the midst of everything, this wonderful pastor looks at you and goes, golly, you guys look busy. You should really think about Jesus. You should really take some time to rejoice. You should really make space in your world for what truly matters. How come you don't have any joy? And you and your weary soul respond back, joy, what are you talking about? I'm trying not to kill people. Advent is the season where we light these candles. But more than that, Advent is this time of waiting. Traditionally, historically, Advent means that we are waiting on the Christ child to come. We eagerly anticipate Christ coming, and yet for many of us, is there any feeling that may be further from you than sitting around and waiting? Wouldn't that be a nice problem to have? To be able to sit around and wait. So in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of all that we are doing, how do we even honestly and meaningfully talk about joy? I mean, we sing it. We heard the choir sing it. We hear people talk about it. And yet in our world and in our lives, is there real room for joy? I'm sure all of you have it memorized, but some of you either weren't here or may not remember that in January, we actually did a sermon on joy, and I talked about that joy and happiness are different, that happiness is this emotion that happens because external things around you cause you to be happy. That happiness is temporary, happiness is fleeting, happiness doesn't last. That joy, in a lot of ways, is this decision you make to put yourself in this place where you delight in God. I think, though, that it doesn't hurt to go over it again, and we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the first ones mentioned is joy. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, remember, what we're talking about are those attitudes and actions, those things that spring up in our life, not because of our power and not because of what we do, but because we make room for God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are things that spring up in our life, not because of what we do, but because we make room for God. So, when we talk about joy, the first thing I want you to know is I'm not telling you, okay, Patrick says I got to be joyful, so let me just build up some joy. Here it comes. Let me add one more thing to my to-do list. Let me just get it all stirred up, and then I'll have the appropriate amount of joy. It's not something that you gin up. It is something that God gives to you. And I think for many of us, if we were to be truly honest and feel comfortable talking out loud in church, we would say that this December, this Advent, this Christmas season has been anything but joyful. It's been frustrating. It's gone by too fast. It's been hurtful. It's been busy. It's been loud. It's been anything but joyful. So this morning, I want us to look, if it is at all possible, with fresh eyes to our text in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Would you pray with me? God, may these ancient words be new and fresh and living in our hearts today. Help us to hear your message. In Christ's name, amen. The angel said, "I will bring you great good news of great joy, that when you hear this, you will be overjoyed." And not just joy for you, and not just joy for the people in our nativity scene, but joy for the whole world. The whole Bible talks about joy. There are verses after verses after verses that talk about what joy looks like. Some of them are commands. Rejoice in the Lord. And that, when you think of joy and you think of it as sort of this kind of emotional thing, that's weird. Carol, be happy right now. You know, that is not what, okay, I'm happy. You know, that's not the kind of thing that you can do. Rejoice in the Lord. It's not just this emotion. It is more than that. But then there's these other things that don't sound, even if we know joy isn't just happiness, there's these other things. In January, we're going to talk about this, but the book of James starts off, very first thing it says is, consider it pure joy when you face trials of any kind. What sense does that make? Good news, everybody. I'm having a really horrible day, okay? Woo! That's exactly what it's saying. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of any kind. Because through those trials, James says, your faith is shaped and developed. Joy is more than just this kind of happy emotion. But it does include emotion as well. There's something in there that has both this decision you make and this thing that you feel. And it is both and this time. It is both and together. Let me give you an example. We've been talking about this around our house. You know, sermons get batted around a lot. And this weekend, we weren't talking about it at all, but this weekend we had the opportunity to show Piper for the first time the movie Polar Express. Now, I don't know if you have ever seen it. I don't know. But this is a big deal in Sarah's family. They love this movie. The book was an important part of their growing up. The movie was something that they watch every year. So Sarah was so excited. You know, we showed Piper movies last year, but she mostly slept and pooped through them. So that was not it was not quite the reaction we were looking for. So this year, we were hoping to get just a little bit more. Now, if you have spent any time with my daughter at all, you know that one thing she doesn't do very well is sit still. That she is up and moving around, and now she is walking, and most times she wants your hand, but if she doesn't think about it, she will walk around on her own. But we don't just sit anymore, and I don't think we're ever going to sit anymore. I see that. Yeah, that's okay, good. And so you see how the parents' face But she just doesn't sit anymore. So, you know, we knew we were going to see, you know, maybe we'll get a little bit of the movie, show her. So we turn the movie on, and before the movie, you know, she's around, we got the little people house, we're doing all of that. Turn the movie on, Sarah grabs her, gets her, snuggles her up, and says, just watch some of this with me. And of course she kind of, and the movie starts, and she goes still. And she starts watching. And Sarah's sitting here, and Piper's sitting right here, and Piper, on her own, scoots back and nuzzles in. And Sarah looks at me and goes, and you know, you don't want to say anything, you don't want to spoil it, you don't know how long this moment's last, so Sarah's right here and got this arm and said, hold my hand. So I'm holding Sarah's hand, we're having this moment, and then Piper looks over at me, sitting right there next to him, looks back at Sarah, reaches her hand out and puts it and places it on top of my arm, and stays there nuzzled into Sarah, holding on to my arm. Well, Sarah's gone at this point, as you... And she goes, and she says something, though. She says, this is joy. It's not happiness. It is joy. And here's what I think the difference is. I think that when you are exactly where you need to be, and you have this moment where you sense that all is right, that God has placed this moment where you are exactly where you are supposed to be, that you find joy in it. Sometimes joy looks like that. Sometimes joy looks like peace. In the midst of the trial that we talked about earlier, you're not going to have one of those Sarah kind of moments, but you may have this sense of peace and the sense of understanding that even in this bad, bad thing, God is with you. That, I believe, is also joy. I think joy shows up in a lot of different ways, but I think joy comes when we find ourselves delighting in God and right in the middle of where we need to be. The disciples, after the resurrection, were overjoyed. You get this sense, even though they don't know what's coming up, even though they don't have a sense what's happening, they are overjoyed. Back in the Old Testament, when Nehemiah, this Old Testament character, is trying to rebuild God's city, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and he is facing opposition, what he tells everyone is, listen, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I think joy is more than souped up happiness, but joy is this delight in God where you are living what you need to be doing right where you need to be and experiencing the power of God however you need to experience it. But I think if we end right there, it's not enough, because we have to ask, yeah, that's great and all, but what does it have to do with me? And we could end with me saying, you should have more joy in your life. All right, let's get out of here. But what I think I need and what I think we all need are some steps to help us. And from stuff I've read and people I've heard, I've compiled together some ideas and some of my own into three main points. I think if we do these three things, we are going to stumble into joy a lot more often than we have right now. And I think the first thing we need to do is so obvious, I'm embarrassed saying it, but I think we need to. I think we need to pray for it. I don't think we ask God for joy. I don't think we ask God to put us in positions and help us make decisions so that we can have joy in our world. So the first thing I think we need to do is we need to pray for it. The second thing we need to do is center our lives on the one who brings complete joy. The angels didn't just say, guess what, shepherds? Jesus has come. You should be really, really happy about that. When Jesus came into the world, he brought joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I think if we center our lives, our thoughts, our actions, and our words on Jesus, we will find much more joy in our lives. Obviously, that's not an easy thing. That's not something you can just do. But if we aren't even working at it, how do we expect to find it? And I think the third thing we need to do is we need to remember, especially right now, when it is so easy to get caught up in our own stuff and forget everybody else, we need to remember that we have it a lot better off than a lot of people. Think about your own life. Think about the struggles and the concerns, but think about the good things. Think about those who aren't blessed in the ways that you've been blessed. There are people who are struggling to have kids who would give anything to have a kid. There are people who would give anything to have someone who would want to marry them and live life together with them. There are people right now who would give anything to have a job. There are people who would give anything to make sure that their kids had a Christmas that wasn't affected by the financial situation in their family. There are people who would give anything to have coats and a place to sleep that they're not worried about freezing to death. There are people who would give anything to gather together and worship Jesus without worrying about the cops coming in and taking them off to die. We have been blessed so richly, and it is so, so easy to get caught up in our own stuff and forget how much we have. It is too easy to forget the reason behind why we do all of this. It is too easy to get caught up in all that we are doing and to let the season of waiting go and completely miss the opportunity. God wants for you more than that. God desires for you to experience joy this Christmas season because we have been blessed so richly, above and beyond what we could have ever hoped for. And most of all, we are blessed because Christ Himself came. If we had nothing else, this would be more than we would ever need. The joy of the Lord is my strength. May that be our prayer. Let's pray. God, as we are threatened to be swallowed up by all that we want to and need to do, we pray that you will give us space and moments of Sabbath rest where we can pause, where we can remember, where we can reflect, and where we can rejoice. Help us to have more joy. Help us to center ourselves on you, and help us to remember those who are less fortunate. Help us to be salt and light, to proclaim the good news, and to live a life of joy because Christ has come. Come, let us adore. It's in His name we pray. Amen. We come